is Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 107 of Radio Free Asgard. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, and we are still the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. Also, we are a member of the Comics Podcasts Network, so you can go check us out over at comicspodcasts.com, in addition to, of course, our website, radiofreeasgard.com. And yes, we are continuing where we left off. Don't have a whole lot to talk about here at the very beginning of the show. It's been one of those weeks, folks. It really, really has. Had a very relaxing weekend after the last show. Of course, here in Chicago, we've had kind of a spate of warmer weather, which has been quite welcome, and it's kind of vacillated between being quite warm and actually being rather comfortable and cool the way I like it. I don't really like the hot, humid weather like we get here in Chicago. But anyway, in addition, of course, to being spring and everything being leafy and green and lush, and that's kind of the way it is right now here in Chicago, it's also allergy season, so please excuse the kind of snottiness in my voice. And of course, the nasal quality, of course, comes out in spades at this time of year. And I just hopefully won't be too noticeable this week. I know, I'm probably the only podcaster who actually worries about that crap. Anyway. We are going to just kind of barrel on right ahead and continue on with our Thor Volume 2 exploration with The Mighty Thor number 6. So here we go, on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder.
The Mighty Thor number 6 has a cover date of December of 1998, retailed for $1.99. That's $2.70 in Canada. Yeah, those Canadians get screwed every single time. Cover art is by Johnny Romita Jr. and Claus Jansson. Shows Thor being decked by Hercules, and he's being decked so hard that it shrunk his helmet. Yeah, we see that Thor's helmet is flown off, but the helmet that is in the foreground, if anything, should be larger than his head. Instead, it looks like it's smaller than his head and therefore would not ever fit on Thor. Bad perspective there by Johnny Romita Jr. Of course, maybe somebody redrew it. I don't know. Anyway, it's still a dynamic cover of Hercules punching Thor. Romita Jr. does some really nice action stuff, and we've talked about that before. Anyway, yeah, the helmet being too small is just a little bit of a distraction. And so guest starring Hercules. Woo! All right, so we open up to the splash page where we have a scene from Thor's past. We have young Thor, and by young Thor, 10 or 11-ish Thor, and Loki, and they're lurking around in the rafters of one of the palaces in Asgard. And as usual, Loki is up to no good. And Thor's following around Loki, and he's like, "Hast thou been granted to climb the palace rafters, brother Loki?
Cease thy fearful prattling, Thor. Punishment shan't be ours to taste, lest we be discovered."
And you get a little smirk here on Loki's face. He knows what's coming anyway. And Thor is wearing his Thor costume like he wears in the comic. Except he's got these red gloves, which he doesn't wear in the comics, obviously. And he's got these knee boots, which are kind of like the boots he wears as an adult, but not really. Anyway, so they're working around up there trying to eavesdrop.
"Punishment shan't be ours to taste, lest we be discovered. An occurrence most unlikely if thou art but quiet."
"Mayhap, yet thou hast such a way of saying such things. Mere moments here are ways of mischief and deceit are revealed."
"Silence, you skinny nag of a whiner. The finest warriors of the realm eternal are gathered in the great hall, and I'll not be deprived of knowing their business."
"Ye darest spy in the hall of war? Thou art mad, brother."
"Oh, hush."
And you see the warriors gathered around the table, and we see Odin among them, of course, but we don't really see all of him because they have a big reveal coming in a couple pages, though I'm not really spoiling. Anyway, so these warriors are...
'Tis the greatest threat Asgard has ever faced, my liege. I say we strike in defense of the realm. The sooner the better.
And we cut back to Loki and Thor up in the rafters.
A threat. One they seem to fear as much as Ragnarok itself. Curious.
Talk of war is easy, brothers. But if we should lose this battle, we would fight no more.
'Tis father's voice, Loki. To spy on the omnipotent ruler of Asgard is dishonorable indeed.
Babbling fool, methinks thou art feeling a bit confined here. Mayhap a walk wouldst make thee more comfortable.
And Loki shoves Thor out of the rafters, and Thor topples down into the middle of the crowd of warriors that is gathered there, lands with a whump. And the warriors are kind of surprised by this, like,
Heimdall's eyes.
By the eternal kiss of Hela.
Who dares disturb a council of war held by none other than Odin, ruler of Asgard and all who dwell within?
And we get this beautiful close-up here of Odin, and he's wearing a different set of clothes than we saw him in last time. Take a drink. And, of course, he's holding his scepter, and the scepter is kind of glowing with Kirby crackle. And sort of Santa-looking, but not too bad. Anyway, so not enough to make him talk like Santa. And we have Stanley Presents the Mighty Thor in What's a God to Do? Dan Jurgens wrote this mess. John Romita Jr. was the penciler. Claus Janssen was the inker. Gregory Wright did the colors. Richard Starkings at Comic Craft did the letters. Tom Brevoort was the editor. And Bob Harras, no relation, was the editor-in-chief. And Odin recognizes that it was Thor, but of course Thor feels obliged to say it anyway.
"'Tis I, father, Thor. Verily know thee well that Thor doth give thee the most sacred word of apology."
And Loki is up in the rafters. he's gloating. He says,
surely the brat shall come to know father's whip for this.
And that doesn't happen because, you know, Thor's kind of a daddy's boy. And Odin's like,
thy apologies art unnecessary, boy, for your actions do a father proud. 'Tis most fitting indeed that a prince of the realm would exhibit concern over those who desire our elimination. There be worlds beyond our own, boy, beyond even Midgard itself, wherein stand gods other than ourselves, gods intent on our destruction. Let the alarm sound for
yeah, and that's a sound effect. It turns out to be an alarm clock, and it wakes Jake Olsen up with a start. He's like, what? And you find that he has not been able to sleep very well lately. And he's like, oh, man, I'd forgotten that day. But why can't I recall more? The dream the god's father spoke of. Why can't I remember them? I must find answers. It's time for Thor to go to Asgard immediately. And he's looking in the mirror, and you see that Thor is reflected in the mirror. Jake Olsen is looking in there. But then we see behind the image of Thor that's appearing in the mirror. I guess we're supposed to take that literally? I don't know. We'll call it artistic license. But we see the image of Marnot. Remember him? Yeah, the mysterious Marnot, who nobody really knows who he is. Kind of appearing in the mirror alongside Thor's image in a puff of green smoke. And he's saying,
not now, godling. Have you forgotten so soon? The pact you made with Marnot? You, the devil who consigned me to this mortal form. A fate which you agreed to rather than be locked forever in Hela's realm of death. Jake Olsen is to receive a special award for his heroics in saving a woman's life while under attack from the Destroyer. I believe the ceremony starts soon, Thor. Shouldn't you leave now?
And he's kind of gloating about this.
You come and go as you like, interfering with my life while your own is bathed in secrets. I'll tolerate it no more. I demand answers. Still your insolent tongue, Thunder God. If not for my work, Olsen's award would go to him posthumously. Or have you forgotten your failings? I forgot nothing. Thor did give you his word. And that word is his bond, and he bangs his fist on the ground, which, of course, changes him into Thor.
He says, though the concerns of Thor are most pressing indeed, They shall be put aside in favor of the one whose life I must now live, for 'tis the fault of the God of Thunder that the true Jake Olsen perished. And Thor goes flying out the window of Jake's apartment, and we see him flying across the city. Really, really nice couple panels there. And do take note here that Jake Olsen is in his boxers and a wife beater when he changes into Thor. And we shift scenes, and we're at the site of the award ceremony, and we have Demetrius and Hannah and Hannah's daughter. So they're just hanging around, and apparently nobody else has arrived for this award ceremony yet.
Wasn't sure I'd see you here, Hannah. The Jakester told me you two are having trouble connecting these days.
He's thrown me a curve or two, Demetrius. Ever since he got hurt on the docks, he seems, well, different. You noticed it too? Girl, that boy is locked up tighter than a widow's purse. Me and him, we used to have some fun. But now? A near-death experience will probably do that, Dee. At least I hope that's all it is.
And the old kid's like,
hey!
What's up, Mandy?
Don't you see that red and blue streak? It was him. It had to be Thor.
And, of course, it was Thor. And we see Thor land in the secluded alleyway and apparently bangs his hammer on the ground and changes back into Jake Olsen in this alleyway. And we see that he is indeed still in his boxers and his wife beater. And we get a little bit of narration here. It says, ah, this seems a most secluded location. It would be most unfortunate indeed for mortal eyes to behold the sight of the first son of Asgard, as he becomes naught but a man.
And he changes back. He's like, ah, nuts. Still not used to this new life I'm living, or else I would have remembered that when I change from Jake to Thor and back again, I end up wearing whatever I had on before. Have to be on stage in 5 minutes, and I'm stuck in my Fruit of the Looms.
And he's thinking to himself, mayhap Jake Olsen doth keep an extra uniform in his locker. If not, the embarrassment shall be most severe. And he opens up the locker, and fortunately for him, there is a uniform in there. And Jake's getting dressed, and then as he's getting dressed, Demetrius pops into the locker room, and he's like, Jakester, there's a hall full of people waiting for you, and you're worrying about making yourself look pretty. Good thing, though, considering the special guest they got to present you with your award.
You mean it's not Administrator Ryan?
Uh-uh. You nailed this award fighting alongside the Avengers, so you get pinned by the living flag himself, my man. Captain America! And they walk outside, and there's a bunch of cops there, and Captain America is standing there holding a medal in a picture frame. And Jake's thinking to himself, by Odin's beard, 'tis true, just as 'tis most unfortunate. Captain America saying, obviously we came in during his presentation here. Gathered here today to present the award for Paramedic of the Year to Mr. Jake Olsen. During my years in service, I have witnessed numerous acts of courage and heroism undertaken by men and women who risked their lives to do so. Rarely have I seen bravery on a par with Mr. Olsen's. While my fellow Avengers and I battled the Destroyer, Jake Olsen went above and beyond the call of duty to rescue a woman from a burning car seconds before it exploded. And Jake is watching and is thinking to himself, 'tis madness. Jake Olsen acted heroically, but Thor did not, or the true Olsen would still be alive. And Cap is continuing on, proudly salute you and honor you with this. And Olsen's like,
no, stop. With all due respect, I refuse to accept, Captain. I don't deserve it.
And you got the administrator here is like, Olsen, have you lost your effing loving marbles?
Who's the grump?
Jake's boss, Thomas Ryan.
So I guess it's the first time we've met that character.
Olsen, refusing an award from Cap is un-American. Might even be treason for all I know.
I do not deserve the honor, Mr. Ryan. I will not accept it.
Please, Captain America, Your Honor. Sir, Olsen's views do not reflect our own. So,
say no more, says Captain America. If Mr. Olsen feels he is undeserving, I admire his candor for saying so. To accept tribute without earning it dishonors those who earned it legitimately. Your reasoning mystifies me, Olsen, but if you're comfortable with it, so am I. And Captain America starts to leave, and the boss is like,
well, I can assure you I am not. When I get through with you, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, that is actual dialogue, folks. And Olsen is kind of tuning out his boss. He's like, thinking to himself,
even now the good captain leaves for a meeting of the stalwart Avengers. Would that I could join him. 'Tis Marnot's fault for casting me into this life most foreign.
And Hannah's feeling Jake's head. It's like, You don't look sick, and there's no fever, so that leaves one possibility. What have you done with the real Jake Olsen?
And Jake's like, what sayest thou?
And the little kid's like,
the pod. Like the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where an alien takes control of human bodies. Duh.
And Jake is like, oh, we aren't getting along so well these days, Amanda. What'll it take to square things?
Tickets to see the Giants at Meadowlands Sunday.
The Frost Giants? Here?
Nay! The New York Football Giants! Don't you know anything? You always told me football's your favorite sport.
Just kidding. I'll see if I can score some tickets. And, somebody overheard that little exchange, and that someone here is Jane Foster. Okay, now, folks. I'm going to say something nice about Jane Foster. I know you don't hear that very often, but I like the way she's being handled here. I like the way that Dan Jurgens has turned Jane Foster into something a lot better than what she used to be. I mean, obviously, we can go back to the 1960s, you know, the pre-1968, before they wrote her out of the series, and I found that she was an annoying little whiny bitch. But I actually kind of like Jane Foster here. I mean, she's kind of tough, but at the same time, you know, she's got that sort of femininity, I guess you could say. I don't really know quite how to put it. But see, if Jane Foster had been like this all the time, I wouldn't really mind the character. So Jurgens is writing her as a smart woman, somebody who is perceptive. Now, obviously, the way Jurgens is writing Jake Olsen and he's coming out with these Thorisms all the time, he's kind of hammering us over the head with it. And, you know, obviously, we're going to notice it, but it's amazing that not everybody around him notices it too. So he's kind of writing his entire supporting cast as being kind of idiotic. Except for Jane Foster for some reason. Anyway, so she's like, Frost Giants?
A minute of your time, Mr. Olsen?
Dr. Foster.
Call me Jane. That was quite a procedure you did a couple of weeks ago.
Remember, he put in like a tracheotomy tube into this guy last issue.
If I'd reported you to the board, your career would be over.
Why didn't you?
Though it's against the law for paramedics to perform it, your cricothyrotomy saved the patient's life. Most EMS technicians don't even know it. Who'd you learn it from?
And he's like, Heimdall's eyes. Hath she come to suspect? Well, it's not like he hasn't been saying all these Thorisms over and over again.
Oh, yes. I heard you say it was Dr. Don Blake. Well, if you ever happen to find yourself in battle with the Avengers again, please mention something to Thor for me.
And Jake's thinking to himself, Marneth hath forbidden me from confiding in anyone, but Lady would be in peril most dire should she learn the truth. What should I tell him?
Tell him the man who inhabited the destroyer, Colonel Preston Case, is still hospitalized. Comatose.
Will do. Gotta run. Nice seeing you again, Doc.
Nice seeing you too, Jake.
No, it's not really the flirty Jane Foster we're seeing here. She obviously knows that something is up. We then shift scenes to a nightclub somewhere else in New York City. I guess it could be anywhere. It might not just be in New York City. We have a bunch of women are swooning over Hercules, and Hercules is showing off in the bar, and he's got these women, and he's lifting, they're all sitting on a chair, and he's lifting up the chair with one hand, and he's got a big tankard in one hand of, you know, some sort of alcohol, probably just beer or something, and all the women around are swooning. As
look at those shoulders. Can you imagine an hour with him? 5 minutes, that's all I ask.
It's like an obviously gay guy who says,
look at those shoulders. Can you imagine? Forget it. Not the type.
That's what they think. Go read the Ultimate Avengers or Ultimate X-Men or whatever the hell that is, where Hercules and Wolverine are lovers. Yeah. Anyway, so Hercules is flirting with these gals. Like,
ah, fair maidens. What other feats of strength? What other tales of monsters most fearsome and adventures most thrilling wouldst thee desire if thou art in quest of the attentions of Hercules?
And a voice comes out from off-panel.
Son of Zeus, I need have words with thee.
And, of course, turns out to be Thor, and Hercules whirls around. It's like,
'Tis mighty Thor,
at whose behest the clouds part and the storm doth erupt. Join us, comrade. Mortal those these wenches are, still they be comely enough to be blessed by the attentions of the god of thunder. Thine appetite for life is as great as ever, Hercules. I would that I could say the same of thee, for thou dost carry an attitude most grim, a reflection of events which have befallen Asgard. And, of course, all the women are kind of swooning now over Thor, saying,
check it out, it's Thor! Hercules can have Xena. I'll take the god of thunder any day. Call me Thor. 555-3269.
I wonder how many people have called that number. It's probably like the police or something. And Hercules is kind of miffed because they're all paying attention to Thor now. Thor is ignoring the women for his part. He's like, the gods of Asgard have vanished, their location unknown to me. A dream did I have, visions of Odin himself, speaking of a coming war with other gods. Only our elders must know of such things. Speakest I must with thy father, to learn if he doth have knowledge of Asgard's pillage. And Hercules just seems more annoyed by all this, though. That's kind of uncharacteristic of Hercules. Really? I'm not quite sure why he responds the way he does. Maybe he's just jealous that the women are all swooning over Thor now, but he's like,
thou cometh here to interrupt mine peaceful repast, to treat Hercules as of little more than a servant, and shame him in front of maidens fair? Cad, the only one Hercules doth answer to is Hercules and Hercules alone, and he socks Thor. As get thee away, god of thunder, lest thee be prepared to feel the fury and might of the prince and power unleashed. And he belts Thor and just smashes him. Got a double page spread here of Thor just going flying after Hercules belts him. You can practically feel the impact of the punch. I mean, it's really, really good artwork here. And Thor goes smashing out the front of the bar, the broken glass, and scratch. And Thor flies out in the street and he totals like a city bus. And of course, obviously, there's nobody in it. Anyway, big smash, ka-tunch, as Thor gets hurled into this bus. And Thor's like, verily I did expect such a response from thee, for thou hast always been rash, impulsive, and most ignorant of self-discipline. But if it be a battle thou doth crave, 'twill be a battle thou shalt have. So sayest Thor, and he speaks in logos, take a drink. I hate it when people speak in logos. And he takes Mjolnir and he chucks it at Hercules' back. And Hercules is ordering another drink. He's like, more mead, barkeep, or ye too shall feel the wrath of Oof. And the Mjolnir is kind of hooked around and is dragging Hercules back to Thor. So he's using Mjolnir to fetch him rather than actually hurt him. And in the meantime, somebody's found Thor's helmet laying on the ground, and they pick it up, and it's like, cool. Anyway, so Thor is dragging Hercules back to him with Mjolnir, and Hercules is like, 'tis most humiliating indeed. And Thor's like, as I did sayeth before, I need speak with thee on matters most urgent. And he grabs Hercules' belt and kind of plows him face first into the ground. It says, so urgent that there shall not be time for playful sparring betwixt friends. And Hercules is laying on the ground. He's covered in the rubble. And he kind of like, why didst thou not say so? If that which troubles thee is so omnipresent, the strong right arm of Hercules is ever at thy service. Hast thou not learned that we be more than friends? That in truth we are as brothers. And Thor is kind of not putting up with Hercules here. It's like, thou wilt accompany me to Olympus then? And Hercules is like, aye. Though great Zeus has stripped me of mine immortality and heritage, apparently this has happened in the Avengers number 384, which I have not read. Still wouldst my heart rejoice at the sight of Olympus's everlasting beauty. So be it, Hercules. Thus by the power of my Uru Melet, do I open a gateway into a dimension other than our own that will let us away? And he's spinning his hammer around and he's creating the equivalent of the Ajax White Tornado, though it's the sort of piss yellow color. So maybe when he goes to Olympus, it's the Ajax piss yellow tornado. And a big, huge, bright explosion. Again, you know, Romita Jr. does a good job of this sort of thing and actually conveying motion in his artwork. It's one of the things I really like about Johnny Romita's artwork.
And he's like, let us away to Olympus. And they disappear with a flash. And as they come out of the tornado, we see a reaction shot of the two of them. They both look aghast. They look horrified. And Thor's like, by Odin's bristling beard. And Hercules is like, nay, ne'er did I think my eyes would behold such a sight. And next page we see what they are seeing. Olympus. And it's all destroyed, and the buildings are all smoking and burning and all this stuff. It's almost like Gore the God Butcher might have been here. And Hercules is like, Olympus, land of beauty and hope unlimited, of art, music, and poetry unsurpassed, is in ruins. And that is Thor number 6. Okay, so what to say about this issue? Well, at long last, we have some movement on the plot. That's always a good thing. After the sort of fill-in issue that we had last time, this is really a good step forward. So far, it's keeping my interest. The art, generally speaking, pretty darn good. At least it's better this time than it was last time. And I know from looking ahead a little bit that next issue is better yet as far as the art is concerned. Really, I'm not really sure what to think about the sort of obligatory guest stars that he's having in almost every issue. First the Avengers, then Captain America in this issue. We got Spider-Man coming up a couple issues from now. We have Hercules for the next couple of issues. It's like they feel they have to have a guest star in every issue. And I don't really think that that's absolutely necessary. Now, maybe later on they'll calm down and not have quite so many of these gratuitous guest shots. And I can only imagine what was going on. Of course, in 1998, when this book came out, Marvel was still recovering from the, you know, extreme 90s and some of the really shitty comics that were coming out at that time. And now we kind of have, you know, Spider-Man starting over from number one the same month that this came out. And we have, of course, Thor starting from number one. Of course, they revert back to the old numbering eventually. But this was a time, you know, after I had stopped collecting comics. This is not an era that I'm really all that familiar with what was going on elsewhere in the Marvel Universe at the same time. Not that I'm not interested, but just that I wasn't reading these books then. And so this is really the first time that I'm visiting this. I do like the fact that they're trying to do something interesting here. This isn't the worst story I've ever seen. We have this subplot going on where you have these evil gods and they're trying to take over Asgard. That's fine. And I'm okay with that as long as it's a good story. That's really all I care about. Anyway, so I think the story is going along pretty well. Art's pretty good. And basically, I think that's where it's going. Now, I do have one kind of minor beef about the story, and this is the characterization of Captain America. I don't really think that his character is way, way off. So, I mean, that's good at least. Okay, so Cap is saying in his speech that he witnessed this bravery. This is the bravest thing he's ever seen. And then you have Jake Olsen basically saying that he doesn't deserve it. And to me, you know, Jake saying, oh, I don't deserve this, you know, that would seem suspicious to Cap. I mean, he's not a natural detective in the way that, you know, someone like Batman would be. But don't you think he would find that a bit odd that he saw this guy doing all these heroic things, but then saying he doesn't deserve it? I mean, I would think that Captain America would be the type to kind of give him a pep talk and say, yeah, you were great, you know, that sort of thing, and kind of do the morale thing. To me, that's how Captain America would react to that situation. And for him to say, okay, whatever, it seems a bit cold for the captain. And that bothers me a little bit. However, obviously, he's just a cameo in this thing. He's not really, you know, the point of it. Maybe the writer, Dan Jurgens, was just following what the artist had drawn. And I don't know if they work Marvel style or not. You know, you kind of never know with these issues. But that's just one of the minor little things that I see that kind of makes me go, And that's, of course, the kind of thing I'm looking for when I'm reading these issues. All right, so I think that's about it for this week. So thanks very much for listening. Of course, if you want to contact the show, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join our Facebook group. Join us there, and we don't talk a lot, but yeah, there's always something going on there. And of course, you can also comment on the podcast page. Each and every episode, you are able to comment. And of course, if people do that, I will read it out on the show. All right, so without further ado, we'll see you next week. Now, next week, we are going to have an extra long episode because, of course, we will have a Norse myth next time. Yay. So we're going to have the Norse myth and an issue of Thor. So we're going to actually cover, you know, maybe an hour, depending on how long the myth is. All right, so thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.